This is Jennifer Hunt with Jenny Hinks on the 27th of April 2015 at her home in Cirencester. Jenny, would you just like to introduce yourself?
My name's Jenny Hinks. I am 58 years old. I'm married. I have two children and two grandchildren, and I work for the WRVS for just under 20 years.
And why did you join WRVS?
I joined WRVS firstly as a volunteer. I did dial a ride and the lunch clubs. Then in 1996, I became a Meals on Wheels organiser and manager. And then in 1997, I became the manager of a shop at Cirencester Hospital, again managed by the WRVS.
And when did you join as a volunteer?
I was an unofficial volunteer until 1991, and then I joined officially on the 12th of February 1991.
And what did you know about WRVS before you joined?
Because I'd become an unofficial volunteer for quite some time before I joined, I was very aware of the origins of the WRVS, or WVS as it was then. And obviously, as I then became involved with it in a work professional capacity, with working for them, I obviously learned more about the history and what different aspects of the WRVS, because it has evolved over the last 20 odd years that I've been official volunteer. So it's, and of course, it's changing again.
And what are your earliest memories of WRVS?
Meals on Wheels, put in this big, heavy crate, metal insulated crate into the back of a car, and taking it to different people. That's the first thing I did. My husband used to drive the car, and I used to just get in and out of the car, take it to people. And the earliest memory is probably the elderly people who we took the meals to, the fact that quite often we were the only people they saw from day to day. And we were just welcomed, even if it was only for those few minutes that we were there. We would, you know, they'd tell us all about their day before or whatever.
And what was a typical Meals on Wheels round like?
Because we're quite a rural area here, it could be up to 20 miles a day. We would go from somewhere locally in the town, which is obviously quite quick, and then we'd go out to the villages, as again, they may not have no bus service, so that they were the only ones we saw. So it was never a routine day. It was always different.
And how many meals were you delivering each time?
Anything from 10 to 30 each time. And then when it obviously got, as WRVS got more involved with the county council, the meals, amount of meals we delivered got more.
And you said your husband drove you.
He did.
Was that your own car that you
used? My own car, yeah. Yeah, I never had a WRVS car. We didn't have those at the beginning. And then my children, as my children got bigger, my daughter became a member of the WRVS. And my husband was a member of the WRVS. We all joined at the same time. She used to help. If my husband couldn't drive, I drove and she helped deliver the meals. So we've been with the WRVS for a long time.
And how often did you go out on a meal?
Every day. Well, at the beginning, I went out once a week as a volunteer. Mm-hmm. But then when I became the manager of the Meals on Wheels in 1996, I went out every day, because sometimes there was never a volunteer available, or we had extra people. They might phone us up in the morning and they didn't have a round, you know, a different round, because it was just a one-off meal. I would take it out just as a one-off meal. So I went out every day, even on a Sunday.
And when you were a volunteer for Meals on Wheels, what sort of meals were you delivering?
It was very simple. Then it was very much the meat and two veg. There wasn't many choices you had, unless you were a vegetarian, which there wasn't that many vegetarians in those days. So it was meat and two veg and a pudding of some sort, but different every day.
And who cooked the meals?
We had a centre in Cirencester that they used to cook all the meals, and it was a central piece that everybody converged on at 11:30. We'd pick our boxes and take them off to where we had to take them.
Did you meet other volunteers?
Yes, because we all met at the same time when we were doing the Meals on Wheels. I mean, when I was a manager, obviously, I met them every day. So it was it started off as a 5-day, but by the time I left, it was 7 days a week. So I met them every day.
And when you were an unofficial volunteer, were there any other services you got involved in?
I used to take people, the we call it now befriending service, it wasn't called that, a lady that had partial sight, and I used to take her shopping. I used to take books, which again doesn't exactly happen anymore. I used to take books around to people who were housebound. Oh, I did lots of things, I can't remember all of them.
So when you were doing the books, that was Books on Wheels from the...
It was the equivalent to Books on Wheels, but it literally used to, we used to go to the library. The lady that I was particularly done used to say what they wanted. And then I used to go into the library, pick a selection of books up, put them in my handbag and walk to the house, because it was local to Cirencester. Yeah. I never did outside Cirencester for that.
And was it just the one person you were doing?
No, I had one lady I used to take shopping every week, and I had three ladies... for the books, and they were invariably either Christy or romantic story books. They didn't have adventures.
And did you find yourself doing other things for them apart from delivering books?
Yeah, well, with the lady with the shopping, I did, because she was partially sighted. We used to take her to get a pension. We used to in the summer when it was nice, we used to my children were small, so she used to sometimes come to the park with us. But we became friends rather, as well as obviously I was helping her in other ways as a volunteer.
And why did you have to join officially in 1991?
It was policy then, whether it was policy before, I truthfully don't know, but it was policy then that if you were a volunteer, you had to officially join. And I did. And not only did I do it, my husband and my daughter did it at the same time, because we were unofficial volunteers by then. Because my daughter volunteered, because then she was 14, 15 then. So she could join, because they also had age groups. And at first it wasn't, you know, there wasn't official age group either. But then it became that you had to be 14, but she was already gone 14 by the time. You know, it was official.
And did you carry on doing Meals on Wheels?
Yes, I did. I continued, again, we all did, until 1996, when I was asked to take over the manager's job of Meals on Wheels. Mm-hmm. So then I still became a volunteer. I also did emergency by then. I was still one of the emergency volunteers for the WRVS then, by that time. So although I was not a volunteer because I was a paid employee, I was still a volunteer in the emergency services. So a bit of both.
And you were also a volunteer driver for the
Yes.
WRVS.
Yeah, I was. Yes, I forgot about that.
And why did you become a volunteer driver?
Because I'd done it unofficially. I just continued doing it. It was just one of those things you just continued to do. You know, just because you were an official volunteer didn't stop you doing the job you were doing. Again, my husband and my daughter did it as well.
And what was involved with being a volunteer driver?
It was what we now call the dialer ride. You would pick them up from their house, take them shopping, hospitals, dentists, doctors, and then pick them up afterwards, and then take them back to where they were. It was interesting. I enjoyed my time.
And can you tell me about the people who you used to drive? You used to give lifts to?
Oh, they range from... I think the oldest one I can remember was 96, and she was a very active 96. She had a Zimmer, but she was a very active 96. And we used to leave her in town for about 3 hours, because she used to just go once a week, and took her 3 hours to do it. We used to have elderly gentleman we used to take to the doctors or the chiropodist or the library. It was mostly elderly people in those days, not many young ones, but they all had disabilities or they were elderly, you know, wheelchair users, something like that.
And is the service still going?
It's Diaride now. The Silent Sisters Voluntary Service are running it now because they took over from the WRVS, but I still am a volunteer for the Silent Sister Volunteer Service, so I'm still volunteering in a roundabout way for the same people, but in a different capacity. Because again, I think that, and I'm still an emergency services volunteer for the WRVS.
Yeah. And when you started as an emergency services volunteer, did you have any training?
Long time ago. Yes. Yes, I did. We have training now, obviously. Every year I'm doing mine next week. We were taught how to, like this huge cooker, can't think of another word, big cooker it was, with a chimney on.
Oh, was it a soy boiler or a trench cooker?
I don't know, it was a big cooker, it was about that big, and you had to put earth around it to stop it catching fire.
Oh, that'd be a trench.
Is it? I don't know. I don't know what it was called. We got learned how to do that. We got learned first aid. We were learned to make sandwiches. Strange, is it? And a cup of tea. And how to make a cup of tea from nothing at all. You know, you've got a gas stove and I never did it, but I was shown how to use a tin can and a pair of pliers to pick it up out the fire. Because although it was probably health and safety wouldn't allow it now, but you know, if all else fails and you've got a heat source and a can and a pair of pliers, you could boil a cup of tea.
Mm-hmm.
I've never tried it, but
no.
I got taught how to do it. But it was very basic. It was very basic training in those days. You know, somebody got burnt, somebody got cut, broken arms, broken bones. Suffering from exposure, because when it first started, of course, it was very much an open air thing. Now it's very much in a protected environment now, so it's very different than it was when I first started. I have been called out 3 or 4 times, one to an unexploded bomb site where we had to take all the people from the houses around it into a centre. Because there was an unexploded World War II unexploded bomb. I helped with the flooding when the big flood in 2007, where we had to keep people safe and feed them because obviously they couldn't go back to their homes.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I've had a few, but that's again as a volunteer. So it's gone from learning how to build a fire from scratch to just taking people to a place of safety.
Yeah, I'm running a rest centre.
Yeah, I'm running a rest centre.
And who gave you the training? Is it?
Oh, it was the lady who gave me the training. It's no longer it was. She used to wear the green uniform. We never did that one. We never wore it, but she did. She had this hat perched on the top of her head, and she said. She just told us the basics, you know, this is what you do in emergency. They didn't have rest places to go. They used to have tents, and they used to bring the tents along and put them outside. So it was a long time ago. But I must admit, I've never used one of those. But I probably, with a bit of being told again, I'd probably be able to do it. But no, you wouldn't be allowed to do it.
No.
It would explode.
And have you helped as part of the emergency service team with any events that weren't emergencies?
No, I've only ever worked in emergencies. I've never been asked to do it. I've just been asked as an accredited volunteer to do emergencies.
And how do you feel when you go on an emergency?
It's very tiring. It's a long day or night, as it was once I went. But it's very satisfying to know that you've provided even if it's only a simple case of a cup of tea and a sandwich for somebody who sometimes can be there for a long time, and reassurance to know that they're not there on their own. If they want to talk to somebody, you know, you sit there and talk to them for 5 minutes, and they quite often, especially the elderly, are worried about because their cats, they couldn't take their cats with them. You know, where is she or he? And you know, you can reassure them that they've been taken to the RSPCA or wherever the place is. So it is. It's very, very satisfying to know that you've helped them. I say it's tiring, but it's nice to think, you know, you've reassured them that it's not the end of the world. You know, they're not on their own, and children are looked after. So you know, sometimes they can be a bit scared of different things. But yes, it's very good.
What equipment did you have?
None. No, I got no equipment at all. I am now given a list of things for me to take. You know, pen, pencil, torch. But everything else now is provided. You get this box and everything's in there. So actually, I don't have anything to take, you know, any equipment at all. You just go there and they supply the whatever you need, which is probably easier because just in case you forget it or you're out when you get the phone call, because I have known people that have been out on the, you know, coming home from the shopping and they've, you know, said, you go, can you come, they've dumped the shopping and just driven off. So but no, I don't have anything to take with me.
And then, as you said, you in 1996 you became manager for Meals on Wheels.
I did.
And how did you become the manager?
The lady who done it before me retired after many, many years, so everybody knew her, and because I knew her as well because I'd been a volunteer. And I was asked by the regional manager, the Gloucestershire manager, would I consider taking the job on. So I did, after about 2 days training how to do it. But then of course I knew most of the workings because I did it as a volunteer, and I just took it over and went on, because basically what I was doing, it just meant that I had to do a lot more paperwork.
Yeah,
a lot more paperwork. And do the bills and things, because now it's all done centrally. When I was doing it, you had to send out the bill to every person every week. And then the driver had to pick the money up, or the cheque, or whatever, every week. It was a lot more paperwork and logistics involved than it is now.
Do you remember how much a meal cost?
Oh, it was less than a pound. Oh, when I left, it was only about £1.30. It was really cheap. It was about 96p or something like that. It was less than a pound.
Yeah.
Because they quite often had bills for about £7 something. So I remember that. But you did used to get paid for your petrol as a volunteer. Yeah, but yes, it was. It was very cheap. I think it was about less than a pound. I think it went up when I left about £1.30. But it was a meal. It was hot, and they appreciated it so much. You know, people say who never saw anybody from one end of the day just to have a hot meal. You know, it's brought to them in their house. They just appreciated it, and it was nice for me to walk out that door thinking, well, I've spoken to them, they're all right, you know, till tomorrow, you know. And you should say see you tomorrow or whatever. And but they really did used to appreciate it. It was basic meals, but hot and filling, which is the more important bit.
And how many volunteers did you have
On the Meals on Wheels? I think there's about 80. For the Meals on Wheels, because we had quite a diverse I think we had about 16 or 18 rounds to do. So we had quite a few volunteers of that. But they were all good, and they used to do a lot more than they should have done. You know, very, very nice. And you know, if they came back and saw somebody couldn't turn up, they'd say, right, put it, you know, I'll come back and pick it up and take it to them and do the second round or whatever. So, yes, volunteers are very good like that.
And which areas in Gloucestershire were they covering?
Just Cirencester and all the little villages around. I think the most furthest away would have been South Cerny, which is about 4 or 5 miles away. Badgington's probably about 7 or 8. But, of course, it wasn't just going to Badgington, it was the houses they went round. I think I used to do about 30 miles a day, you know, quite often, because it was the, you know, uphill and down dale type thing. It's part of the world.
And how did you manage your volunteers?
Well, they were all very good. It was very much a case of, as I did with any volunteer that you should do, you know, you ask them and you requested rather than demanded them to do things, because if you demand them, they wouldn't do it. But they did it themselves. You know, they were so dedicated to what they did that it was, you managed them in an overseeing manner rather than, you know, telling them what they do. You know, they were so used to their round, and they used to come back and say, "Oh, Mrs. So and So's in hospital, so don't take a meal to that tomorrow," or something, because they knew them by name.
Yeah,
because they'd been doing it for a long time. And even the new ones, when I left, we never lost many volunteers, so they knew all their customers and by name, you know, and say, "Oh, she's not very well, they've had to get the doctor out to her," and you get, you know, even if you didn't go regularly to them, you got to know them as people as well. Yeah. So I didn't really manage them. I just sort of looked after them, made sure they got what they needed to do the round. Because, I say, they did it long before I got there, and some of them were still there when I left. So some of them left because of their age and things, but, or they lost their licences because of their age or something. But a lot of them were still there when I left. So you didn't sort of, you just let them get on with it.
Mm. And as a manager, you were a member of staff.
Yes, I was a member of staff, yeah.
And did Meals on Wheels change at all?
It did. When I first started, as I said, it was basically you had to, each week you sent out a piece of paper with how much they've owed on it. Some paid it every day, because it used to be you could either pay every day or you paid it once a week. By the time I left, they were paying it, you had to pay it once a week or by through the bank. Most of them paid by cheque. But I can't think of anybody that actually picked it up every day anymore. It used to be every day, most of them. But by the end, it was once a week or once a month. But mostly it was once a week. So it changed quite drastically, because it meant that I didn't have to go to the bank every day to bank the money. Yeah. I only had to bank it once a week or once a month, but mostly once a week. And we used to have an office in town that I used to take the money to and then have it checked, and then I used to go to bank it, because we used to do it in the office. We had office then.
Mm. And what was the office like in town?
It was a room about the size of this room.
Mm.
And there was 3 people in it continually, and then on a Thursday when we did the money, there was an extra 2 people, and we asked the desks in there, because I never worked from the office. I actually worked from home, I always did, but I had to, once a week I had to do the money and check the books and everything, and they used to check that the money, rather than just me check it, somebody else had to check it, and then we used to take it to the bank. So it was a very small room, up 2 flights of stairs, right in the attic. But yes, it was very good, because down below used to be the Cotswold Volunteer Service, and then we used to have it upstairs, and then they took over because we stopped having an office when I was working at the hospital. Because obviously I went from working Meals on Wheels to working at the hospital.
And why did you move to the
hospital? The lady left the hospital, the manager did. She decided to retire. And if I remember correctly, it was her husband's illness, and she retired on that day. She told him on that day. So I went up there to do it for 2 weeks, just as a, well, I was being the manager of the Meals on Wheels. And then I decided that I couldn't do both jobs. It was too much for me to do both jobs. So I stopped the Meals on Wheels because there was somebody who was quite good that took it over. Another Jenny took it over. And I went up to the hospital full time then. I had between 64... When I first started, I had 64 volunteers. And all we did was run the shop and take a trolley around the ward twice a week. By the time I left, and I did it for nearly 20 years, I had 84 volunteers. And I had... we were doing the ward round every day, twice a day, once in the morning with the newspapers and once in the afternoon with just sandwiches and, you know, biscuits and drinks and things. We had, we also did lots of other things as well, which was really interesting. I enjoyed my time at the hospital. A lot of them were still there when I left. They were there when I started. Because, of course, they were in our sort of 30s then, you know. And I was very proud that I gave a lot of them their medals for being there for...
The 15 years.
The 15-year medals. I was very honoured. I gave my husband and my daughter their 15-year medal because they came with me to work in the volunteer in the hospital. So they followed me. So I was very proud to have given them their medals as well. I gave two ladies their 27-year medals. And I gave one lady, who'd been doing it since 1940-something, I can't remember, and she stopped doing it now, but up until about 5 years ago, she was still doing it. And she's in her 90s. She's 97, 98. She gave it up now. And I gave her a bar as well. So I had lots of proud moments in my time there, including representing the WRVS at a garden party and meeting the Queen.
Was the garden party at Buckingham Palace?
It was. And I was one of 12 people that went down there from all over the country. And because I was one of the longer serving volunteers there, I was honoured to be to meet the Queen. Which was a really great honour, and it was nice to, you know.
And did you wear uniform for the garden party?
No, we don't have to. We didn't have to. Up until about 1998, they didn't have to wear uniform. Mm. I would have liked to, but no, we just went in our normal dress, very smart dress, I might add. But no, I would have liked to have worn them. But by then, of course, the uniforms were out. You know, nobody wore a uniform. And they'd already been archived by then. Because they were so precious. Because obviously they were originals. And the material was very precious. I did work over at the archive in Devizes.
Devizes.
Yeah. I did that a few times to archive the material. That, you know, that was over there, but then they stopped doing it for a while because the curator, I can't remember what the gentleman's name was, he left and they had to sort of, they closed it for a little while. I also, with many volunteers, hosted when the Queen's Golden Jubilee. I helped with many of my volunteers have a tea party for all the people in the Cirencester that elderly people in the Cirencester and WRVS we hosted 500 people, and there was this, you know, most WRVS volunteers made teas and cakes and scones and things like that, as we do.
Yeah.
As all volunteers at WRVS can always make a cup of tea and make a sandwich. So, yes, I've had a very varied time with the WRVS.
And when you were at the hospital, you mentioned the trolley shop.
I did.
That you had. Were there any other WRVS services that you ran in the hospital?
They all were. The trolley, the shop, the actual shop, which sold teas and coffees and chocolates and toiletries for the patients, and Christmas cards for the League of Friends, because obviously we didn't provide Christmas cards at WRVS, it didn't then. So the League of Friends, we sell it for them. Then we used to, as I say, then we had the trolley shop go from twice a week to five times every day, probably Saturday and Sunday. In the morning we used to take newspapers up, and in the afternoon we used to take the trolley round, and they were all run by the WRVS. WRVS don't run them anymore up there, it's the hospital runs them now, but when I was there it was the WRVS. But we used to sell varied things, from a bar of chocolate to exercise bands for the physio department and that sort of thing, you know. And if a patient wanted something, quite often we could get it for them, and we just run it for that length of time.
And what did you do with the profits that the hospital
WRVS obviously it went back to the, but all the profits went to the hospital. We provided over the years, and I'm trying, we provided refitting three ward day rooms. Provided all the, 1 year provided all the trolleys in casualty. Another year we provided all the chairs in the outpatients. Another year, I say we've done three day rooms. 1 year we provided chairs for the physio, for the people who have trouble getting in out the chairs, provided that. We provided defibrillators. Oh, I can't remember all the things we provided over the years. As you know, whatever the hospital wanted,
yeah.
If we had the money for it, they got it. And each year I presented it to them. So we've done equipment for the X-ray. I'm trying to think of all the departments in, but that sort of thing. So we always, you know, all the profits went to the hospital. And we provided a trolley for books, because the books service used to be done by the Red Cross. And so we bought them a new trolley to put the books on, to take it round. We did things for the chapel, because they wanted stuff in the chapel. Oh, many a thing. I probably, if I look back on my photographs, I could tell you, but I got rather a lot of photographs.
And what happened to your role as the hospital manager?
I mean, when I finished, I gave it up due to the fact that my husband's got Parkinson's, and I found that my role as a carer became more involved, and I just couldn't do both jobs, and I couldn't do the job justice, and I felt that I would be letting my volunteers down by not doing the job as good as I could have done. So I gave up to become my husband's full-time carer.
And did you still stay in touch with WRVS?
Oh, I still see my ladies, our gentlemen, all around the town, because obviously they're down. And obviously I'm an emergency volunteer, so again I do that. I don't do much else for the WRVS, pure and simply because I just don't have the time, as I've got other things I'm involved in now. And I'm not involved at the hospital anymore.
And do you remember what year it was when you stepped down from the hospital?
2011. I'm pretty sure it was 2011. It was about 3-4 years ago that I stepped down. But I felt it was the time to go. Because, I couldn't do my job justice. And provide a good care for my husband as well.
And did you feel that WRVS had changed significantly since you first started.
Yes. When I first started, there was a lot more volunteers. As I got through the years, I found it more and more difficult to get volunteers because there was lots of other charities. And I also found that they used to diverse quite often. I'd get used to doing one thing and they'd change it. Because when we first started it, we used to have the hospitals, we used to have the lunch clubs, we used to have the book clubs, we used to have the dial-a-ride transport, and then it changed that it was very much the lunch clubs all closed, and then it was just the hospitals, and now it's again evolved into the fact that now it's come that home from hospitals, the befriending, the book club still's going, but it's changed so much over the years, and of course it's changed its name again. Because when I first started as a women's voluntary service, although there was a lot of men, including my husband, but they were still called that. And then it got changed to the,
WRBS.
Then it was the WVS, wasn't it? It was WVS, then it was WRBS, and then now it's the RVS.
Royal Voluntary Service, yes.
And of course I was part of, when it became the Royal Voluntary Service, because I was there then, so I've been doing it a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And I will continue to be a member.
And in 2004 as well, they had quite a big change with the colours and branding. What did you think about that?
Because I was working for them, I was very involved with the, you know, what do you think of this idea? And we went through quite a few changes before they picked the one they've got now, which I do like purple. One upon a time, it was going to be purple and orange and green. So it's changed a lot. But yes, because I was involved in it, I had no problems with it. Some of my volunteers did, because they say, why change it? Which I understand, because they'd been doing it with the green. And because of the work with the shop, it was branding the shop a different thing. But that was easy then. And the uniform, you know, the tabards had to change because they were green with WRBS written on them.
Yeah.
And of course, they had to change to the purple. So yes, I didn't mind it. I don't know why they had to drop the woman's voluntary service, because there was many a men in the service, and none of them objected to being called a woman's voluntary service, because that's what it was always called. So even the men didn't understand why it had to change, but I understand it had to change, and I can see that you know, that's how it goes, but they could never understand that. And I wasn't around when they changed it from the it was before my time that the Women's Royal Voluntary Service, the royal bit came in, because obviously that was before I started working. So.
Have there been any other changes to WRBS?
Well, they do a lot more emergency services than they used to. I know that sounds silly, because we always were involved with emergencies, but now it's a lot more where they used to be react to the emergencies as and when, and it was just the Women's Voluntary Service. Of course, now they work in partnership with the councils and the Red Cross and all those things, so that's changed significantly. When I first started, it was just the WRVS phoning me up and saying, can you come along to wherever, and we found a hall or something, where now it's much more structured, and of course the county council is the one that coordinates it all now, where of course it was just the WRVS or the Royal Red Cross or St John's. Now they're all in partnership, so that's changed a lot, but for the good, because it means that the help can get to the right place, the right time, very quickly, and you're all doing and saying exactly the same thing. You know, you don't have to just, I mean, when we used to do it, all we used to supply was tea and sandwiches in a room.
Yeah.
And that was it. Now, you know, there's the RSPCA looking after the animals, the nurse, you know, the Red Cross doing the medical side of it, so that WRVS are not just tea and sandwiches, they do the looking after as well, which, so that's changed, which I find a lot better.
Yeah.
But I do miss actually the rushing around, because, you know, you just got called out and I used to go down to the local, because it was always just local.
Yeah.
You didn't get called to Cheltenham or Gloucester or wherever. You stayed in Cirencester because that's where your office was and that's where you stayed. So, now you can go anywhere in the county as long as you're in Gloucestershire. Although I have gone over into Wiltshire because I asked for help in Wiltshire. But different. And we move with the times.
And is there anything which we haven't talked about that you'd like to mention?
Only the fact that the volunteers are the centre of the WRVS. Without my volunteers that I've had over the years, both that were volunteering with me or were volunteers as part of my job, I've got to admit I've met some wonderful people and they're dedicated to the WRVS and what they do 110%, and I know that I wouldn't have done half the things I'd done without those volunteers. Whether I count myself as a volunteer or as a manager, without those volunteers, the WRVS wouldn't exist. And I think, you know, those are the people we've got to thank.
We've talked about the changes that have happened to WRVS while you've been involved. What was the biggest change?
I don't think there's any one big change that I could say. It's evolved. Mm. And I've evolved with it. So I think that the saddest part I've had was actually leaving. As I said, because of the volunteers. And I was sad at leaving, but I felt that was a time to leave. But because I've been in it a long time, perhaps if I hadn't been a short time, it would have been different. But because I went, as it changed, my role changed as well. I can't say there was any one big thing that I think that a change has happened. I say apart from changing the name and that, but then I was involved with that. So again, I've changed with it. So I think the type of volunteer is different as well. That now, where before we were the retired volunteer, shall we say. But now we're getting a lot more younger ones that may be doing their Duke of Edinburgh Awards. We used to have a lot of them at the hospital. We got the people that are looking for work and they're using their volunteering as a way of getting into work. We still get retired people. But of course, there's people that retire below the retirement age and therefore want to do something to keep themselves interested and getting out. You get more people now that are can't find a job but they want to do something, or somebody who just have lost their partners and want to be able to be involved because of that, because they want to get out and meet people. So there's a different variety of volunteers than when I first started, when they were retired people who just wanted to volunteer to get out the house type thing. So that has changed in a nice way.
And where do you think Royal Voluntary Service's place in society is today?
I think for people are going to have to, it's going to take them a while to get used to the name, because quite often, even now, they'll say, who are they? And when you say they're the Women's Royal Voluntary Service, or the WRVS, they'll know instantly, and it's recognisable. But I think it just needs people to learn that they're the same ones, just with a different name. Especially where people on Remembrance Day, there used to be a lot of WRVS members used to lay a wreath. They don't do that anymore now, which is sad, really. But you know, quite often you'll say, it used to be called the WRVS, and they say, oh, I know that. It's that perception, isn't it?
Yeah.
The name. They recognise the old name, and it'll take time to recognise a new one. But I think in society, I say, people know it, just getting used to it. But you know, people remember it, if nothing else, for the Meals on Wheels and the lunch clubs and things like that. Especially if they're older, and the young ones say, "Well, my nanny used to tell me about that." I think, oh dear, I can get it old.
And what do you think is the future for the organisation?
I think because we are getting an ageing population, we will have a more important role, especially now you're doing the more home from hospitals, because the role of the hospitals are changing. There's very much more a community-based ethos, you know, take them back to their homes because that's where they're best at. So in that case, as long as it continues along that line and WBS doesn't change their way they're doing again, I think that will grow because they'll need it, because there are more older people, and they will continue to get older, of course. And I think the way volunteering is changing, as long as they can keep their volunteers, then they'll go from strength to strength. As long as I can continue volunteering, I shall. And I do. And I enjoy volunteering. Not just for the RVS, but for other things.
And what has been your most memorable moment of your time with WRVS?
Meeting the volunteers. I'll never forget all the volunteers I've met, because they've become friends as well. Meeting the Queen, which was another memorable one I don't suppose I'll ever forget. And actually, my role as volunteer for the WRVS was part of the reason I got chosen to run with the Olympic torch. Because I volunteered, I stopped working by then, but I still volunteered for the emergency services, and because the whole, I do lots of volunteering apart from that, I was chosen to run with the torch.
This was 2012.
Yeah. So, and my daughter was chosen to do it as well. So we were one of the only mother and daughter in England, there was one in Scotland, that actually both run with torch. I did not run. I had the distinction of being the slowest walking person, but my daughter's in a wheelchair, so she walked as fast as the person who was pushing her. But I didn't walk very fast. But I did it. And I think that was one of my... But because of my WRVS... Yeah. RVS, isn't it? Yeah, so that was... But no, I think the volunteers are my proudest achievements. Yeah, seeing them. And some of them go on from volunteering to the Duke of Edinburgh Award, coming back to do volunteering while their children were little, and then going on to work. So, you know, to think that, you know, just volunteering, my little bit of volunteering they did, got them into work. So that's an achievement in itself for them as well.
Well, thank you very much for talking to me today, Jenny, and this will make a really good contribution to our Voices of Volunteering project.
I'm not sure.